Thanks, Joan. Hi, everybody. Everybody doing good? Good. I'm mostly going to read. Oh, I want to do some thank yous. Thank you, Joan. Thank you, Chris, in absentia. Thank you, Hop Farm. Thank you, Don, for everything that you do. And thank you to my fellow readers. I'm going to read mostly new stuff tonight, but start with a couple from my last book. This one goes out to that weirdo, Jason Irwin. Where's my bucket? Three men sit in the booth of a bar drinking draft beers from pint glasses. They make slow, deliberate movements. They talk about books, music, politics. One of them says, "Let's prank somebody." The others laugh, but he's serious about it. A man named Elvis walks into the bar. The merry prankster yells, "Elvis!" loud enough for the man named Elvis to hear his name shouted over the bar noise. He sees the prankster and comes over to the booth where the three men sit. Elvis has half of a sandwich in a bag. He's wearing a University of Pittsburgh jacket, and he tells the three men about his job, about driving cross-country, about what it feels like to find yourself in an earthquake, grabbing for a tree to stabilize yourself, but realizing that the tree is shaking and not stable either. When Elvis leaves the table, the prankster pranks a plumber, not knowing that he is a plumber, yelling, "Where's my bucket?" into the phone. He pranks Jimmy, a retired cop turned poet turned boxing instructor, and says, "I had too many onion rings. I just puked all over the bar. Pick me up." It's just this way with poets sometimes. Sometimes the world that they live in needs them to give it a little extra color. Thanks. This one goes out to Chandra Alderman. Archaeological bells. They've buried the dreams underground, I think. We don't seem to have them anymore, the dreams. So I think it must be that someone disposed of them, did away with them, maybe put them underground. When we dig for the world that others left behind, we find jewelry or tools. We sometimes find bells. The bells no longer ring or make any kind of noise. Perhaps they've been buried underground too long, like the dreams or visions, the other lives we live. An abridgment of the light of the world. I was looking up into the branches of the royal star magnolia, though I don't know what I was looking for. And I thought of Mark up in Erie, home from work, writing his little death poems, in his own universe, but aren't we all really? I will admit that at times everything seems to me all full up with death and dying or loss and grieving, failure and suffering, everything broken. But then she says she has never been treated so well by another person as you. She says that every day you remind me who I am. And that is light to go on, a full breath of clean air, something to step to. All right, this next one I snagged the title from Sun Ra, and then the last line I used most of a line by Stephen Triplett, who read here at Hemingway's last year, but I kind of tweaked it and made it my own. Tapestry from an Asteroid. That was the summer of the unrelenting wildflower smoke. It felt like the end of something, but not completely dire. Every night those birds started up with their chattering in one direction as the sun was setting in the other direction. The sea was never the same twice. It was somewhere beyond. I had a dream of sleeping and the wrong end of a straight flush. It really wasn't all that dark out, and I wasn't quite sure why. I am another one, I said to no one. I am something else. I know a fugue when I hear one, and I know my question. I don't know her anymore, but I think we are both alive. Thanks. Thai basil. Bobby got me a little Thai basil plant. I put it in my kitchen by the window. He told me that I needed to pluck the little purple flowers off, saying that if I didn't, it would go to seed. But I thought the flowers were pretty. They made me think of you. I was already thinking of you. Thanks. This next one is a found poem. Letter tucked in a copy of the September 1965 issue of Poetry Magazine. Dear John, I was sorry that we got into different cars the night we left Leslie's and that I didn't have a chance to say goodbye to you. I've been wanting to give you a copy of my last poem. Because in the winter of 1962, when you were here, you decided Astrid and I should, after dinner one wildly snowstorming night, walk with you around the lakes. I said I couldn't go because I was stuck in a poem about drinking. You insisted I should go. It was wonderful, and I was glad I did. And you wondered what I might have to say about drinking. I went in for the last swim of the season the day after the meeting, watched over only by Ralphie and Littlefellow. Thereafter, if they hadn't closed the pool, I think I'd not have made it. Love to you, Polly. All right, this is a short one and goes out to Phil Geist because I think we both agreed to the sentiment of the title. I never knew how to pronounce obeyed. Sunday after Thanksgiving, I go east, she goes west. She got called into work. So we go from Thanksgiving, and this is a Christmassy poem. Spinning punk rock records for my mother on Boxing Day. It's the day after Christmas, and I need to head north. Before I go, we sit by the stereo in the family room. I put on the Minutemen for her. Buzz or howl under the influence of heat. 1983, I tell her, Los Angeles. She closes her eyes and listens, and she nods along. I put on Fugazi, Waiting Room. DC, I say, 5 years later. She says she can hear how it sounds like other bands I like. And then I play the Wipers. Is this real? We hear Return of the Rat, talk about Nirvana and the Beatles. Mystery plays. When it gets to the chorus, my mom says, beautiful. She is so right. All right, and then I'll send this poem out to Ed Field, the poet Ed Field, wherever he is. That's another short one. Saturday afternoon. In my bathrobe, sipping coffee, reading Fat City, and listening to Chopin. As snow piles up out in the streets, and the cars spin wildly out of control, and I think of the poet Ed Field. Go with the turning willingly. Give in. Chris Collins pointed out how my poems lately have been having a lot of spacey kind of stuff going on in them, and so I'll send out some spacey poems to Chris up the hill. Orbital perspective. Isn't it pretty? The neutron star collapsing, balancing over the black ocean, and a dandelion fields full of the strange cosmic beasts we like to give names to. I couldn't stop looking at the shadow of us there. It looked different after our difficult, lonely journey. I too felt I was destined to join in a great experience. It was freeing in a way to be so arrogant in my beliefs, to lean in fully toward that kind of dimensional realism, navigating the change and the changeless, the universal in particular. A trash truck woke me from dreaming. I parted the blinds a bit, and out my window, I noticed the sky down in the gutter, a flowing atmospheric river. Sometimes, but not all of the time, I can find the music. I'm glad I could be here. I'm happy you're here with me. another shorty. Emergency. In Youngstown, Ohio, a single letter falls off of a sign that hangs next to an elevator and ends up providing what might be wisdom. The sign now reads, "In case of emergency, use the stars." Thanks, everybody. Between order and adventure. For days now, I've been walking around this place, my foolish brain, for some strange reason, repeating the melodramatic phrase, "My heart is on the line." Last night, I fell asleep to the sound of steady rain. This morning, I woke to birdsong. I like this planet with its surprises and little envelopes of dreams, our proximity to the phases of the bright fixed stars. I will say that it does get a little cold here on occasion, but then I've got my anxieties to keep me warm. The point is not necessarily to hold on to the sanity, so much as to embrace it when it does take hold. Everything that has been made is not necessary. I'm one of the ones who just wants more and more. Three more poems. Shade Tree in Summer. If I'm honest with myself, I'll own up to that I can't always make sense of living this life. My existence here on this spinning sphere, the day and night, and then day and night once again, the heat, then cold, then heat, the grief and the suffering followed by this moment with you under this shade tree in some little park, in some little town here in the Middle West. Not too hot in the shade, cool enough for us to get close and stay there. Archipelago. There is that feeling in the distance there, off a ways but still approaching, like a boat making its way from one island to another with a speed that is difficult to determine. But I know it. I have had it, or something like it, before, I think. It is something like the sense that time is too fast, that I'm not working on what I should be working on, or else that I'm not doing near enough to make things better, that I'm failing worse. Some nights, I'm the only one on the dance floor. And sometimes it seems like I am on fire and no one notices, and I don't know how to put it out. But something has found me. I am only alone and misguided if I don't consider the burning and all of the flames for what they mean or represent or signify from above. A light in the darkness. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Taking a cue from John Dorsey, I'll end with a poem by our friend Bart Solarczyk. Sunrise through a hospital window. The city I love, the city that bore me, burning with memory, calling me home. Thank you.